Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
It's Here and Now, and as we wrap up our broadcasts from Houston and get on the road to San Antonio, where we'll be for the rest of the week, we wanted to sit down with the mayor of this city, Anise Parker. She's wrapping up her third and final two-year term here. She is the city's second female mayor and first openly gay mayor. In fact, Houston is the largest city in America to elect an openly gay mayor. There are a lot of questions about what Anise Parker plans to do next and about the challenges a city like Houston faces as it continues to grow faster than any other city in the U.S. I asked her about all of that and more when I sat down with her this morning in her office at City Hall. Mayor Parker, thank you so much for joining us.
Very happy to be with you.
Now, you just returned from the Conference of Mayors in California. What do other mayors of other cities in the U.S. think of Houston? What's their view of your city?
Well, I think that view has changed over the last few years. It used to be Houston was an anomaly in everything. Houston's the city without zoning. Houston's the oil and gas capital. And I think they had a certain image of the city of Houston. But now I think they're a little bit envious of our economy, even with the lower oil prices. And I've been out trying to convince them that we're not what they think that we are.
Do they realize that it is the most diverse metro area in the United States, which we've been talking about this week on the program?
I don't think so. Mayors are all about their own cities. We are the face and the voice of our cities, and mayors are shameless boosters. They're the ultimate homer, and so mostly they're interested in their own cities. And we go to the U.S. Conference of Mayors to learn from each other, to take best practices, and to steal them from each other.
Well, and I wanted to ask you about that. Who are you stealing from? Who do you look to for inspiration? What other city do you like?
Actually, there's not one city. It used to be that New York City stimulated a lot of the best practice conversations, but that was because of the Bloomberg Foundation, and Michael Bloomberg pushed that. Joe Riley, the mayor of Charleston, has influenced generations of mayors. I think he's one of the longest serving mayors in America right now. And he started something called the Mayor's Institute for City Design, and teaches us how to relook at development problems in our cities. And so there are a lot of different places to get inspiration.
But what's one that you were at the Conference of Mayors and you thought, I really want to go talk to the mayor of this city because what they're doing is really interesting?
Actually, I spent a lot of time talking about how we could improve our 311 system. And some of the cities, they don't just take calls in. They also do in downtime. Not that we've had a lot of downtime, but they do proactive calls out, sort of customer service calls, which I thought that was a neat idea.
You brought up 311, and I know that one of the things that people sometimes report in 311 is potholes. And I've heard a lot since I've been here about the state of the roads in Houston. What are you going to do about that? Or can you do anything about that in your remaining time in office?
Fixing the roads is a long-term infrastructure improvement. And there's not a short-term fix. I know the roads are in terrible condition, although I must say that I don't know that I've ever been in a city where people didn't complain about the condition of the roads. We have a particular problem right now. We have 30 years of deferred maintenance coming home to roost, and we have a 20-year into the future program to fix it. We have the money, we're doing the projects, but there's only so many you can do at a time.
We mentioned that this is the most diverse metro area in the country. It's also one that is very segregated in many ways. You have ethnic neighborhoods that are you know, you go to a neighborhood that where everything is Indian, or you go to a neighborhood where it's all Chinese or all Vietnamese, or there are Hispanic neighborhoods, which is the case in a lot of cities. But do you think there's anything that can be done in Houston to deal with that segregation?
Segregation where someone is forced to be in an area, or you redline an area, is absolutely wrong. But I don't know that you can stop people from wanting to live near their neighbors, near their friends and their family, near cultural institutions. And the way this has happened in Houston is absolutely organic.
And do any problems arise as a result of it?
people talk about diversity being a strength. It really is a strength here. We mesh well, we integrate well, we cross-pollinate, as it were, among the various cultures of Houston. And it's part of what makes us one of the most dynamic cities in America.
There's been a national conversation going on, and cities around the country have had to deal with the issue of police violence. There were protests here late last year after police shot an apparently unarmed man during a traffic stop. How big of a problem is that here in Houston?
It is a concern anywhere it happens. It is a tragedy anytime it happens. In terms of community relationships, we have a remarkably good relationship between the police department and the citizens of Houston. Part of that is that the police department looks a lot like the population it polices. It's a majority-minority police department. But also it's because of decades of proactive, neighborhood-oriented policing and a chief in command staff that not just reflects the city but gets out and engages with the city. When we have an incident, the first person on the phone is the chief of police calling community thought leaders and explaining what's happening and keeping them engaged.
And when you heard about that incident that I mentioned at the traffic stop, what was your first reaction when you heard that? Were you worried that something like what had happened in Ferguson would happen?
No, because we've done the groundwork in advance. Certainly there are protests, but our protests have been appropriate. They've been civil. We protect them constitutionally. And people have to have an opportunity to express their unhappiness.
There's also a national conversation going on right now over the issue of the Confederate flag after the shooting in Charleston. And some people are starting to say, well, it's not just the Confederate flag. There are other symbols of the Confederacy, including some here in Texas. There's a monument to Jefferson Davis in Austin that some people would like taken down. What do you think of that? Because there are a lot of monuments to Confederacy in the state of Texas.
I understand and agree with the desire to remove the Confederate flag, not because there's inherently anything wrong with the battle flag, and there were actually multiple Confederate flags, but because it's been appropriated as a symbol of hate by racist groups. To take that and somehow decide that we want to erase the history of our country, I think that that's not a particularly productive use of their energy.
It's a step too far.
It's a step too far. I understand. We have a statue almost within eyeshot of City Hall here, down in the bowl of this park next to us. It's called the Spirit of the Confederacy, and you have to want to know where it is and go find it. I could slap a new name on that statue. Do you want me to go melt it down? We're part of the South. This was a Confederate state. That if that statue became a rallying point for racist groups, I'd melt it down in a heartbeat.
I just want to ask you a few questions about you. You are an openly gay mayor of a major American city in a very red state. What has that meant for you during the course of your career?
Well, it certainly didn't make it any easier to be elected. But I have discovered that there are a lot of people who feel that because I'm honest about my sexual orientation, that I'd be honest about other things. And I have... Every politician has what I would call a brand, and my brand borders on brutal honesty.
And what are you thinking about as we await this decision from the Supreme Court about same-sex marriage? We should say you're married to your partner, but you did that in California.
I am married legally in the eyes of the state of California and in 37 states, I guess, but not here in the state of Texas. I'm hoping that the Supreme Court's going to do the right thing. This is a battle. This is a war we've already won. There may be some battles left to fight, but we know the direction this country is moving, and certainly the direction of the younger generations here in America. I just came back from a trip with my wife and our four kids, all of whom are over the age of 20, and they're just mystified at we're even having the conversation.
What is next for you? You're going to run for something else when you're done in January?
I am not going to run for something in January. I hope I have the opportunity to continue to serve, but it would have to be the right race. Right now, I'm the CEO of a $5 billion corporation, and I make things happen every day. So it would have to be an administrative or executive position where I could make a difference.
Statewide?
Absolutely. Statewide or countywide here, I'm not interested in being a member of Congress. I like to do things.
What do you want your legacy to be?
That I was interested in the hard things, that I never walked away from a problem, and I never looked for quick and easy solutions. Things like the Rebuild Houston program, in the long run, we're going to have the best infrastructure in the United States. Did the same thing with our water sewer system. Tackled homelessness. We're doing the right things for the right reasons.
Mayor Parker, we've had a great time in your city. Thank you so much for joining us.
Glad to be with you.
So she's interested in an administrative position, maybe statewide. Sounds like it could be the governor's office. Texas residents, is Anise Parker the kind of person you'd like to see as governor? Let us know at hereandnow.org. You can also tweet me at Jeremy Hobson. This is Here and Now.